Tough Rock Podcast.
Amen, amen. Good morning, everyone. How are we today? Are we good? Hey, you're going to have to give me some energy this morning because, I've always known that we are kind of a football church and probably the biggest Bronco fans in the world. But I got to talk to Roger Goodell about these 11 o'clock games, man. He's got me 2 weeks in a row, so I'm going to have to write a letter to him. But I hope that as you've found your way here, that you are getting into the Christmas spirit this year, right? And it's okay for those of you that are still kind of in Grinch mode or, still got a little grouchy around the edges. We've got a couple of weeks before Christmas. That's why we kind of build up with the Advent so that when it does become Christmas, we all are filled with Christmas cheer and happiness. Amen? Amen. Come on, we can get some Christmas cheer in here. So that's really what we're talking about today. I must be in the Christmas mood. And each year I feel like a little bit more and a little bit more I'm able to really, not be the Grinch guy and be the happy, cheerful Christmas cheer guy. Some of it may be the season of the ages of our kids. So we do a few extra things. Like last night, we went to the Denver Zoo Lights Festival that they do, the Christmas lights. I've never done that before. I've lived here my whole life. Where have I been, right? Where have I been? You guys are like, you need to get a clue. You're from Denver. You should know these things. But we did that. It was a great time. And then maybe it was just that little sprinkling of dusting of snow that God gave us this morning that has me feeling especially festive today. All right? So hopefully some of my festiviness will fall out on you. All right? Let's pray and let's jump into the word today. Father, we love you and we thank you for the honor that it is to gather together to lift up your name. Lord, to be filled with your presence, to be filled with your word, and to be together as your body. Knowing that you have good things for us, Lord. We do it just as the corny Christmas video that Pastor Chad showed today. Lord, it reminds us of who you are, that you are the greatest gift giver, and that you showed up in our lives. Lord, so we gather today to lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of my message in our series, Incarnation, I almost started singing Encarnacion for those of you Nacho Libre friends here. We're not going to do that. It's not the same word. That's not the same thing. But the title of my message today is The God Who Shows Up. The baby to behold, right? The baby to behold. And, a lot of people have heard this story. As a pastor, I struggle every Christmas with retelling the story that I know that everybody sitting in the place, whether they know Jesus or don't know Jesus yet, know the story of the little baby in Bethlehem, the little baby in a manger. They have familiarity with it. And so we try to find new ways to approach the subject. Today, I wanted to focus on really what the baby to behold is all about. Because sometimes, if we were honest, we would say that familiarity with the story of God in our lives can sometimes, if not breed contempt, can help us lose out or miss out on some of the significance of that baby that was born. Amen? I mean, if we were honest, we would say that. I'm a pastor. I've heard the story. I've read the story. I've preached the story over and 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 over. And yet, at the same time, I understand that there's still stuff in there that God's teaching me, right? The significance of God coming, incarnating himself, putting on flesh so that we could live life with him is a big, big deal, right? And it's probably something that's going to take all of eternity for you and I to really understand the significance of. So if you're like me and you're saying, yeah, I've heard it before, and it's kind of like having the DVR at home, right? It's like, yeah, okay, the Jesus thing. Yeah, he's born in a barn. Got it. Okay, yeah, okay, fast forward. He went to the cross. Got it. Oh, yeah, resurrection. Uh-huh. Yep, we know that part of the story. Oh, yeah, spirit-filled living. Amen. Right? So we can all go home. Today, I'd like us to slow our roll just a little bit. I'd like us to look back into a few key passages that most of us are familiar with and see if we can draw something else out of them, okay? So the reason we're doing it is because a very profound theologian named A.W. Tozer, who wrote many books, but one of them being The Knowledge of the Holy, said this, okay? He said that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Let me say that again, because it's just a profound statement. You've got to repeat those twice, right? What comes into our minds when we think about God is really the most important thing about us. And I love that Pastor Debbie last week, as part of her illustration of her message, used the classic film Talladega Nights. Isn't that what it's called, Talladega Nights? Yeah. The famous scene where they're all sitting around the table praying over their Domino's and their Taco Bell and all those things. And they all kind of break out. And I like to pray to bearded Jesus. And I like to pray to, you know, this Jesus. And I like to pray to little baby Jesus, all 6 pounds, 8 ounces of his glory, right? And I started thinking about that, and I said, you know what, that is really true, that no matter how much we know about God, no matter how well we know him, we don't know him in totality at all the time, right? That like we can get stuck in just thinking about Jesus on the cross. We can get stuck in just thinking about the Holy Spirit. We can get stuck, but really it's the whole story and the significance of this baby that came and clothed himself in flesh so that you and I could know him today. So what I'd like us to think about today is not just did it happen, how did it happen? We can get caught up on all of those issues, right? But why? Why would the all-powerful, the omniscient, the omnipotent God of the universe choose to introduce himself to his creation in the form of a little baby, right? I mean, I'm not an expert on babies, but we've had a couple in our house, and I can tell you they drool a lot, right? And they're just, you know, they're just not all that impressive. And yet, here we have this story of this Jesus, right? This Jesus where the wise men, the kings from other lands, came into this story because they knew the significance of that birth. How many of you guys are thankful today that Jesus being born was the most significant birth in human history, right? Yeah, that's a good place for an amen. Thanks for giving me one. Okay? Give me some energy. Let's do it. That's what I want us to take some time and think about. Because had I been God, which I'm clearly not, I would have probably broke in with like some really cool rock ballad or something, right? I mean, like Rock of Ages blasting behind you, Michael and all the archangels out in front, just boom, 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 coming to introduce myself to my creation and help them see the significance and the power within, right? That's probably how I would have showed up. Or have like, you know, the We Will Rock You, you know, or the Rocky theme behind me, dun, 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 right? That's how I would have showed up. But no, God chose instead to, in fullness of his deity and his power, to clothe himself as a little baby. A little baby. Why? What does he want to communicate to us from that? That's what I want to take some time and think about today. That's part of what I want us to talk about in our message today, all right? So, how do we think about Jesus this Christmas in that baby form? There's a couple of things that I want to illustrate for us today. And the first is this, that the birth of Jesus didn't just happen. It was something that was foretold from a long time ago, right? How many of you guys remember the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament? Prophet Isaiah, over 700 years before Jesus is born, is talking about this baby. He's, in a sense, calling his shot, right? He's saying, all right, here it comes. This is what the Savior of the world, this Christ child, is going to be. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold. Everybody say, behold. Behold. Say, behold again. Behold. I was hoping for somebody to be a smart aleck and say, behold again, right? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That word Emmanuel, most of you guys could cite or quote back to me, means God with us, right? But as I read that all too familiar passage, it's like the Lord stopped me on that word behold. You guys ever have that happen where the Holy Spirit just kind of has you sit on something? It's like, it's not even the main part of the story, God. Behold, so what? Well, I started doing a little research on what behold means. And the Hebrew word, it's hene. Okay, so everybody say hene. And then the Greek word for it is adu. So if you've been married before, you've said some Greek before, right? Adu, right? Hine adu. Hine adu. And it's a significant part of this scripture that we're all aware of from the Old Testament, because it simply just means behold. And when you say behold, it's not like behold. It's behold. It's like lo, see, behold. If we were going to use language from here, it'd be more like, dude, you got to watch this. You cannot believe what's about to happen. You cannot understand what's going to happen here. You wouldn't believe what I'm about to tell you. Or say, hey, pay attention to this. Listen up, because this is big, right? And then what does he say? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Or the verse that we just talked about, Isaiah 7, verse 14, okay? So let's put ourselves in those that place, right? The place of those, the magi that traveled for a very long time to see this little baby, right? 700 years before he's born, Isaiah says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, listen up. The virgin shall conceive and bear a child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay? So, why am I making a big deal about behold this morning? I'm making a big deal about behold because as your pastor, I can freely admit to you that there's a lot of Christmases that I don't necessarily behold that baby. I see it as just a precursor to all that God wants to do in us and what he did throughout history. But when I think about the significance from the Old Testament, that this was prophesied over 700 years before, this is a big, big deal. This is a big, big deal, not just for those that were there when it happened, but for you and I as we sit here today. Why? Why is it important that we understand that this baby had this inside of him, right? For unto us this child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Why is that significant? Why is that important to us? It's important because it's the signpost. It's the symbol. It's the entrance of how he chose to enter the room with us. Now, I just told you I had two little babies at home, right? And when we had them, we didn't really know what to do with them, right? But I can tell you, the very moment that my eyes locked in with that child, I realized a sense of intimacy that I'd never had before, a love that's welled up in different chambers of my heart that I didn't realize that I had before. And to me, that's one of the reasons I think God chose not just to put on flesh so that we could identify with him and know he identifies with us in every struggle that we have, but so that he would know, so that we would know the level of intimacy and love that he wants to give us in this world. Amen? In other words, God closed the gap between us and him by coming down and putting on flesh for you and I, right? So maybe this is a better way for you to think about it. What is him choosing to disclose himself and the baby communicate? That idea of incarnation is embodiment or personification or exemplification of who he is. And we see that in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, this story of the Word becoming flesh and coming down to earth to introduce himself to his creation. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 1. We're going to read this passage. And again, we're trying to read it with an attitude of beholding him when we read it, okay? So if you have your Bible, open it up, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And it says that in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed. You guys would probably appreciate it if I let you read along with me, huh? Okay, so it wasn't just foretold of, it wasn't just prophesied in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in the New Testament, okay? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. He created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everything, was coming into the world. Sorry about that. Was coming into the world. Verse 10 says, we came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but from the birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds. This is the one I'm talking about when I say, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is God himself, is near to the Father's heart and has revealed God to us. So again, the significance of that baby is far beyond that little baby in Bethlehem, right? Emmanuel, God with us, is what occurred. Okay, so why are we talking about this? Why is this important? Some of you guys know that I coach high school football, and I'm the defensive coordinator on that. So what I try to do is teach our corners to cover wide receivers, right? Now, if you guys have watched the Broncos recently, sometimes they are having some problems with that, okay? So the concept is we want to give them, our cornerbacks, enough cushion in covering that wide receiver to make sure that they don't just get run past and get a big touchdown scored on them, right? But if you notice, the really good cornerbacks in the league, they like to walk right up on them, right? They like to, as we call it, close the distance. Keep your cushion, but close the distance as tight as you can to allow the least space for someone to actually throw that ball in there and complete the pass, right? And so the very best corners in the leagues, we call lockdown corners, right? Because they're not afraid. They don't need the space between them, Marissa, right? You shouldn't have sat in the front row, girl. Instead, they walk right up on them. The ball is snapped. They're saying, wherever you're going, I'm going. I'm closing the distance. I'm going to get close as I can get to you. And then you're going to tell me which direction we're going to go, all right? Now, I know this is uncomfortable for you because it's getting uncomfortable for me. So I'm going to back up from that spot, okay? When somebody came up through youth ministry, you can get that close to them. It's okay, right? But the idea is that you got to close that distance, okay? The idea is that you close that distance. Can I just tell you that that birth of that Savior child, that Christ child, closed the distance for you and for me? That him being born closed the distance. It was God saying, I'm not going to play this safe. I'm not just going to sit up here on my throne. I'm going to come down to earth. I'm going to put on the flesh, and I am going to close the distance between myself and those whom I've created for my glory. Amen? That's what he did. That's why he was born. It was foretold of for 700 years. It was fulfilled in the New Testament. But the most important part of the story to me today, as it relates to you and I, is that the birth of Jesus is revealed through a relationship. That it's revealed through his relationship with us. Okay? So think about it just for a minute. Let's just let that sit in. The significance of this divine human child being given as the greatest gift in human history, that the eternal Father was giving us his divine Son as a gift. Come on, somebody, right? You guys remember that illustration from Pastor Andrew's message a couple weeks ago, the two kids that were hearing about Christmas for the very first time, and they kept saying, you got to be kidding me, right? That we get presents, that there's all these parts of it. You got to be kidding me that because of who Jesus is, I can have that relationship with him. I don't have to have any space between him and I anymore. See, the mysterious birth of Jesus was fulfilled in the New Testament. The significance of it was made known all the way in the Old Testament for a lot of reasons, for the establishment of the kingdom of God, for redemption and salvation for both Jew and for Gentile, for peace and goodwill amongst men. But most importantly, for you and I as we sit here today, it's so that he can close the gap between us and him so that we can experience intimacy with him. Amen, right? That's a good place for an amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as they do, I want us to just go back to that first challenge that I gave today. Behold the Savior of the world. Behold the reminder that he is revealed to us to live through us in an intimate fashion. In an intimate fashion. The birth of Christ was not an ordinary birth of an ordinary man. It was the birth of the most important, most significant, most unique person in the world, in the history of the world. The birth of Jesus Christ was the incarnation of God himself. In other words, is the very God that became man so that man could know God. The significance of this is profound, and it would probably take us all of eternity to really absorb what it means in totality. The conception and the birth of Jesus Christ was the mingling of God and humanity, and such a thing had never occurred before. So Jesus being born as a baby, I don't know what God's speaking to your heart about that today, but for me, it's meaningful because it reminds me that he wants to abide with me in intimacy, that he was vulnerable with us so that in return, we would be vulnerable with him, that we would remember that he breaks down every wall and allows us to abide with him at all times. So what does a picture of intimacy look like? I gave you an illustration a little bit earlier of my little baby girl, Cameron, in my hands. It's a moment like parents can't really even describe. It's just that powerful. But I think that John chapter 17 gives us another picture of what that looks like. And it says this, and this is where I want us to kind of look inside of ourselves today as we get ready to respond in worship, to really behold this Christ child, the baby to behold, and be reminded that because he did what he did, we can experience John 17, 20 through 23. And it simply says this, for I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. Verse 22, this is the clincher right here. It says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one. I in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So why am I making a big deal about this? I'm making a big deal about this because Jesus wasn't sent to that manger. He didn't choose to come down and be in the flesh, to live the human life so that we could tell a story at Christmas about some little baby in a manger. He came so that we could express the intimacy and the love and the unity and the oneness that his Holy Spirit makes available through relationship with him. Amen? So let's behold that baby, shall we? In this next song, let's behold him in the way we approach Christmas this season. Let's behold him and let's remember that by beholding this little baby Jesus, we are proclaiming his goodness until he comes. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Lord, we thank you that you close the gap between humanity and your divine life. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Help us to live in a way that beholds you before the world. And Lord, help us today to be impacted and filled with your joy and your love and your peace and the resources that only you can bear in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. You know, sometimes as we enter the Word of God and as we worship Him, Lord will give me just an idea, something that maybe a symbolic gesture, just a physical gesture that helps remind us of what He wants to do and what He's done in our lives. And so today I'd like you to do something with me if you would. And that is just extend your hands out like someone's giving you a present. And just by that physical act, we're embodying, we're symbolizing, we're responding to the very simple message today. That God's Son was given to us. And so as you hold your hands out, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to just envision that little baby Jesus in your hands. The Christ child. Given to you so that we can be intimate with Him. Given to you in the midst of our hurried and harried lives. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle and the gifts that we'll exchange this Christmas. And all the things that need to be done between now and then. So that we would behold Him. So that we would hene. So we would adu, so we behold the Christ child. I want you, as you think about that child in your hands right now, be reminded that every need that you have is represented in that relationship. He's our healer. He's our Savior. He's our provider. He's everything that the prophet Isaiah just told us, wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. He's been given to us. For relationship. Maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, I don't know as I sit here or I stand here today that I have that relationship that you're talking about with Jesus. I don't know that I've responded to this good gift that God has given to me. And today I'd like to make that decision. I would like to respond to God's goodness in my life and receive the gift that we've talked about today. If that's you here today, we would like to pray a prayer with you. It's a prayer that we pray here every week at North Rock. Because it's a reminder of who that gift is in our lives and that He is able to make up the difference and close the distance in our lives in any area, in any way that He should show, that He so chooses, right? So with your eyes open, I want you guys to pray with me today. Let's now, before we pray it, I know that the rituals are there for a reason in church, right? To remind us of what's important. But today, I want you to hene. And I do this prayer. Can we do that? Can we pray it to Him with the loudest voices we possibly can, knowing that who we're talking to is the Creator of the world, right? Amen. All right, let's pray. Let me hear you. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin and that You rose from the grave 3 days later. Come on. And give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, and to following You in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we celebrate Jesus? Can we behold this Jesus today? Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You. Oh, amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer for the very first time today, I would love to meet you after the service. I've got a gift for you. We call it a yes packet. It's just a Bible and some tools to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. But if you need prayer for anything this Christmas season, we have people available to pray with you. We'd love to meet you after the service, okay? God bless you guys. Have a great week, and thank you for being here at North Rock Church.